We are continuing in our series on living on another level of faith. Last week we mentioned there's no substitute for faith. It's amazing how many people will search for different substitutes in their lives, but there's no substitute for the real thing. The Bible tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and it goes on to tell us that without faith it's impossible to please God. So if it's impossible to please God without faith, you really can't substitute it, because if you stand any chance of pleasing God, you have to have faith. So there's no substitute for faith. We spent most of our time last week talking about faith and the Word. The relationship of faith and the Word. We talked about how the Word is necessary to build our faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that if we want our faith to be increased, then we have to expose ourselves to the Word of God. Yes, we do. We have to expose ourselves to the Word. Faith comes by hearing. And so if I want to develop that measure of faith that God has given unto every man, then I have to expose myself to the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God, not just church, including church, but not just church, because we're not in church long enough. I know some of y'all probably think we're in church too long. We're not in church long enough to get enough of God. I'm just going to tell you. So the hearing of the Word of God is even in my personal time with God, in me reading the Word of God, in me singing the Word of God, in me meditating on the Word of God, exposing myself to the Word of God. So faith comes by hearing. So hearing is an intake. Faith comes by my intake of the Word of God. But then the Bible also talks about how the Word did not profit some because it was not mixed with faith. So then we see the relationship with faith in the Word. If I want my faith to be built and developed, then I have to expose myself to the Word. But if that Word is going to work, then that Word has to be mixed with faith. So just to know the Word and be hearers of the Word and not doers is not going to accomplish anything. Just to hear the Word and not stand on that Word in faith, be established in the faith, that Word that may have delivered somebody else may not work for me because it may not be mixed with faith. In fact, the scripture that I'm referring to, the Apostle Paul, I think it was Paul who said that they received the Word just like we did. Y'all remember what I'm saying? But it says, but the Word didn't profit them like it did us, because what they received, they didn't mix it with faith like we did. So the trick is not just hearing the Word, but that Word, if that Word is going to have impact, if it's going to be fruitful in our lives, it must be mixed with faith. So we have to have the daring. We have to have the wherewithal and the capacity to be able to stand firm in the Word of God and believe God, doubting nothing, that what he said, it will come to pass. The Bible says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. It would be something if God was able to call us, but he couldn't do it. But the Bible tells us that God says he's big enough to call us, but he's also God enough to do it or to complete it. The Bible also says that he that has begun a good work in you, y'all know what I'm talking about, is able to perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So God is not just going to start something, or he's not just powerful enough to start something, but not powerful enough to finish it, like we are. A lot of times, many of our lives are marked by things that we started but didn't finish. It's one thing to start strong. It's a whole nother thing to finish strong. The Bible says that God is able to start a good work in us, and he's able to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So faith and the Word must work together. It must work together. The challenge is, you hear many people quoting the Word, many people making reference to the Word, but they're not walking in the power of the Word because they're not living on that level of faith. They're trying to copy or mimic or reproduce what is happening in somebody else's life. And one thing I've learned about God and the power of God, the anointing of God, it cannot be copied. It cannot be duplicated. In other words, if the anointing of God is in your life, no matter how much I may admire it, I can't just duplicate or copy your anointing. I have to be in a place in God. I have to be able to stand on my own faith in the word of God and allow God to be real in my life just like he's real in your life. He's big enough like that. So many people, though, are trying to mimic and copy somebody else's gift or somebody else's anointing or somebody else's manifestation of the power of God. We see it all the time. I'll tell you what, this copycat syndrome is almost nauseating in the church. Christy know what I'm talking about. Somebody trying to sing like somebody else sing. It may not be your time right now. You know, if you've been around singing any length of time, you know, if somebody's singing a song and you got somebody backing them up, and if you hear somebody backing up, there's this little thing that people will do that was sort of like a cue to let you know I wanna sing too, or I wanna hit this song a note. You know, they'll sing something in the background, they'll make this, you know, okay, and they're not even leading it, but what that means, Chris, it means that if you don't mind, they wanna run a lap too. Just stay in your lane. Just stay in your lane. I never forget a story Bishop Jakes told once when he said he was preaching and he tried to do something that Bishop Noel Jones did, and it didn't work. He said, you know, Bishop Noel Jones, you know, when he preached, he gets the mic and he gets to certain points and he'll get that mic. And he was like, he'd do that with the mic. And Jake said he tried it one time and he hit his lip with the mic. And was up in the pulpit bleeding, busted his lip, trying to do what somebody else did. That's a lesson. Stay in your own lane. Amen. And so when the word of God that I've received, when I mix it with faith, with my faith, based on my relationship with God and my level with God, then God will bless me where I am. God will bless me where I am. Sometimes I'm not ready to be where someone else is. And then sometimes I'm shooting myself too low. So it's best to thine own self be true. Develop your relationship with God and you'll watch God begin to flourish. So faith and the word is so important. Last week when we ended, I told you that I told you what we were going to be dealing with today. And we were talking about living on another level of faith. That's the word in the house for this season or this time right now. That's the word. We're living on another level. Living on another level. Living on another level of faith. And I talked to you last week and we mentioned that today we will be talking about faith and a pure conscience. We talked about one of the hindrances to living on another level of faith is our mindset, our conscience. And we talked specifically about dealing with guilt and how the devil uses guilt to affect our faith. And that's true. He uses guilt to affect our faith. You cannot live on another level of faith if you're in bondage to guilt. Amen. And there are two different types of guilt. But before I get, I want to reference a scripture that you want to use as our premise today. And it's in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. And it's interesting because it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Let us draw near, drawing near, coming close to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Full assurance, that means I have confidence. I have the boldness, the confidence. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, or our hearts washed. sprinkled, washed, or purged from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. So there's a connection between a clean conscience and faith. I'm gonna say that again. There's a connection between a clean conscience and faith. How you approach God is a big, has a lot to do with the level of faith that you walk in. How can you confidently approach God when your conscience is dirty? How can you confidently, with assurance, approach God with a dirty or a guilty conscience? It's important that our conscience is clean and pure. Now, dealing with guilt, we talked last week, and we suggested last week that we're going to be jumping into this word today and dealing with guilt. And we talked about two forms of guilt, two kinds of guilt. One is conviction, and one is condemnation. One is conviction, one is condemnation. Now, let's talk about guilt in a general sense. It's one of the enemy's greatest weapons that he uses against the people of God is guilt. What guilt does is it tears us down. Guilt tears you down. It makes you feel dirty. It makes you feel unworthy. It robs you of your faith and your confidence in God. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? It robs you. It beats you down. It wears you down. It's a weight. It's a weight. In fact, Hebrews tells us that we should lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Sometimes there's a weight of guilt that will easily beset you. And so guilt is a type of weight that weighs us down and robs us of our faith and our confidence in Jesus Christ. So what we have to remember as believers, as children of God, is that Jesus came to cleanse us from our sins, and he came to free us from the guilt of our sins. If you want to live a victorious life, you have to live a life that is free from guilt. If you want to live victoriously, amen, you gotta have a conscience that's freed from the guilt of your past. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 9 references a portion that scripture says, holding the mystery of the faith, there's faith again, in a pure conscience. Interesting. Holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. Let's talk about these two types of guilt. One is conviction. Conviction comes from God. Conviction comes from God. And if you don't experience conviction, then I think you have a problem. Because conviction, it's uncomfortable. Conviction is when you mess up, or when you're about to mess up, and that something within nudges you and cautions you and checks you and say, whoa, don't do that. That's not right. Conviction is when you have done something wrong and something tells you, no, that's not right. Conviction is when you have failed at something, when you miss the mark, and it makes you uncomfortable. And it causes you to stir, to have a stir inside of your spirit. Conviction comes. It comes from God. The word the Bible talks about in John chapter 16 and verse 8 talks about when the Spirit comes, he says, when the Comforter comes, when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world concerning sin. So what does that mean? When I am confronted with sin, or if I have stepped into sin, the Spirit of God will convict me. If someone is sinning and there's no conviction, then there's a salvation issue. I mean, I don't mean to bust anybody's bubble, but you know, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Some of y'all got some old stuff that ain't passed away yet. And behold, all things are become new. I can't be in him and bring all that old stuff with me also. Because he came to deliver us from that old stuff. So if we're in him, we're new. So when we're in God, conviction is so very important because it's not only necessary for salvation, but it's necessary for our growth in God. Conviction on the one level, when it pertains to our salvation, nobody's going to come to God to repent of their sins unless they first feel convicted. They have to feel like there's something wrong in their life or that they've done something wrong or that they are a sinner in need of a Savior. That's why the Bible talks about, the Bible says that God chose the foolishness of preaching so that people would be saved. When the preaching of the word comes, it comes to convict the sinner. So if you're sitting under the true word of God, the anointed word of God, and you have not been saved, that word comes to convict the heart of the sinner to show them Jesus and show them how far below where they need to be, how far down they are, and how much God can bring them up. So it convicts them. It makes them feel uncomfortable or what? Guilty. It makes them see themselves as wrong. Guilt that comes from conviction. And that causes people to do something. And that's why people come to the altar and they surrender their lives to Jesus, because they feel guilty as a result of the conviction of the Spirit of God that comes from his word. It comes to show us where we've fallen short. So that conviction comes that brings men to salvation. The Bible says that godly sorrow worketh repentance. So that's a godly type of conviction, that God sends his word and pricks the heart. Someone would say, what must I do to be saved? In fact, in the book of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that after the Holy Ghost came and Peter stood up with the 11 and Peter began to preach that sermon after he got filled with the Holy Ghost, the first Holy Ghost sermon, amen, in the New Testament, then he began to preach. And the Bible says after he preached, they were pricked in their hearts. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? They were pricked in their hearts. Why? Because they were guilty. So the word of God came and pricked their hearts, convicted them, made them feel guilty. And as a result of that conviction, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Or what shall we do to be saved? So it comes to save. There's another level of conviction for those that are already saved. Because how many of you know that being saved doesn't mean being perfect? Amen. How many of you know that those that are saved gonna still drop the ball sometime? Oh, yes. The one of the saddest things is you find somebody that's saved and they're so arrogant and they're so caught up in pride that they don't see their own failures. Because if you don't see yourself, you'll never repent. So the word of God still comes, that same word that convicts the heart of an unsaved sinner, it also convicts the heart of those that love God. Because we do love God and we're so thankful for our salvation that we don't want to hurt God. We don't want to displease God. That's why David found a place of repentance to God. When he was confronted for his sin, he found a place of repentance. Because as being a man after God's own heart, he still failed God, but God didn't abandon him. Amen. God sent the word through the prophet, and this same saved, chosen man of God, the word of God brought guilt and conviction in his life, and it caused him, just like the unsaved person, to repent and get back right with God. So conviction works for the unsaved in order that they would be saved. But now once I am saved, that same Spirit of God, through the word of God, it convicts me when I fall short, when I miss the mark. So that guilt comes. And the response of that type of guilt from conviction should always be repentance. We're going to talk about that in a minute on how you deal with this. So conviction comes after I'm saved. And then there's one more level I'm going to hit on conviction that I want to challenge you with. Because I believe to live on this other level that we're talking about, and we're talking about living on another level, and specifically in this series, living on another level of faith, I believe that that requires living a life of conviction. Not so much from the guilt side, but from a standpoint of being close enough to God that I want to please him in everything that I do. What does it mean to live a life of conviction? That's missing in the church today. And if we're going to live on another level, we're going to have to live lives of conviction. So what does that mean? That means there are going to be some things I'm going to have to avoid and stay away from because I don't want to run the risk of it pulling me away from God. Amen. Living on another level, that means there are some people I'm going to have to disconnect from because those people are not helping me get close to God. Living a life of conviction. That means there are going to be some things, because I'm living close enough to God and I'm listening to him, there are going to be some things that God is going to speak to me and say, Eric, that is not what I want for you. That is going to be a hindrance for you. I don't want you to do that. I want you to abstain from that. And it may not be a sin.
That's right. That's true.
Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. In other words, that means there are some things that it may be okay for me to do. It's not a sin, but it may not be good for me. So that means Tony may be able to do something and he's good, but that same thing, that it may be a weakness for me or a hindrance for me, so God may tell me not to do something that is okay for Tony to do. But I won't know that if I'm not living a life of conviction that's close enough to God, because now if I don't do that, I'm measuring my conviction based on what everybody else is doing. That's not living on another level. That's going along with the crowd.
Amen.
Can I say, you know, am I living a life that there's some things that I just don't do and I'm comfortable with saying to somebody else, no, I'm not saying it's wrong. This is just not good for me. This is something God says is not good for me. You don't hear that nowadays. Let me tell you what we do. Well, they're doing it, so it must be all right. Elder Rush is doing it. They do it. It must be all right. Guess what? It may be all right, but it may not be right for you. Do you love God enough? Are you living on that level? Do you want to live on a level enough to be a vessel of honor that when God gets ready to do something supernatural, that he can use you because you are living a life of conviction? I'm going to tell you to live on that other level, to go to that place where you're going to have impact in the kingdom of God. You are not going to be able to go along with the crowd. You're going to have to be sanctified, which means you're going to have to be separated and fit for the master's use. Everybody's not willing to make that sacrifice. You know how this, when I grew up in Baptist church, they used to sing this song. It says, I'll go if I have to go by myself. Y'all remember that one? I was about to sing it, but I ain't going to do that to y'all today. And they would go on to say, if my mother don't go, if my father, if my sister, if my brother, I'll go if I have to go. Y'all know the song, all right? We sung that, but we ain't really mean it when we were singing it. Ain't nobody want to go by themselves. Because as soon as I walk, wait a minute, I'm going back with, no, maybe God. What happens if God wants to call you to another level? Another level of living. Am I willing to abstain from some things that everybody else is doing because it's a personal conviction of mine? Do you have personal convictions? Thank you, Jesus, in your life. If you're going to live on another level, I'm telling you, y'all need to hear me. By the Spirit of God, please hear me. You're going to have some personal convictions and be willing to hear God when God says, this thing is not good for you. And you can do that without judging everybody else. Amen. Conviction, living a life of conviction. So one type of guilt is that conviction that comes from God. So now, once a person repents of this type of conviction, the guilt lifts. This person feels relieved and they feel joyful that their sins have been forgiven. Let me go into this next one. The next type of guilt is condemnation. Condemnation or accusations from the devil. Ah, help me, God. Satan loves to torment the people of God by reminding them or us of our past. God help me deal with this one. Satan wants to continually hold before us the mistakes of our past that once had us bound. Guilt of condemnation. In fact, one of his primary functions or activities, the Bible talks about him as being an accuser of the brethren.
That's right.
He accuses you of stuff even though you have been forgiven of those things. I don't think I'm the only one that sometimes gets haunted by some sins of my past. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I can be in the pulpit preaching and something will flash in front of my face. Y'all never know it. Thank God y'all can't see it. Something I may have done 10 years ago that's under the blood. I may be up singing a song. We do leading praise and worship. And boy, I may close my eyes and y'all don't know what I see when I close my eyes sometimes. Don't y'all judge me now. It ain't like that all the time. I ain't in bondage. Don't. But what I'm saying is sometimes the enemy will do that. You can be talking to someone. Someone can come to you and you can be ministering to them. And the enemy will throw it up in your face. You need to shut your mouth. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all ain't got to say nothing right there. But he does that. He's an accuser of the brethren. And so what he does is he tries to throw these things back up in your face, even though you have placed it under the blood. So what happens is the enemy, that's his job. And so when he does that, we're talking about living on another level of what? Of faith. What happens when the enemy is successful at bringing condemnation to me? How is that going to affect my faith? It's going to drag it down. Because as long as I am thinking about guilt of something in the past, it is going to affect my faith in God, because I'm going to see myself. It's going to affect how I see myself. And I'm going to think, you know what? God is not, no, And we sometimes think that God sees us how we see us. And we don't see ourselves through the eyes of the blood of Jesus. We see ourselves through the eyes of what the enemy has painted in front of our faces. And I don't care how strong you are, those issues of guilt can snatch you back. It can snatch you back out of something that God has taken you to, if you allow it to. But I came today to release a word in this place for the few of you that are here, that we are not going to allow that enemy to bind us up with condemnation that causes us not to live on another level of faith. I'm going to live on that other level of faith. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to live on that other level of faith and walk in the place that God has called me to walk, no matter what the enemy does, no matter what he says. It's tough, because sometimes we go through situations, we go through things that sometimes are a result of our own doing. Even things that we have repented of, but sometimes we deal with the consequences of things, of mistakes and failures that we're still walking or living in the consequences, even though we've been forgiven. And sometimes the enemy will use that consequence to keep you in bondage. So you can't live on that other level of faith because you think about how that guilt is making you feel that God is seeing you the way you feel, and that's a lie from the devil. And I came to kill that lie today. We're going to kill it. We're going to kill it. I ain't got but a few minutes, but it don't take long to kill something if you got the right weapon.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that type of guilt, the devil comes and he seeks whom he may devour. Even though our sins have been forgiven, he still wants to tear us down and make us feel dirty and make us feel unworthy. He wants to rob us of our confidence in God. It's a lie from the father of lies, and it must be ignored. It must be cast down into the pits of hell. So everything that rises up, the Bible talks about every tongue that rises up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. God has given us power over that condemnation that the enemy will bring our way. So let's go a little bit further. Did I miss somebody's hand? Did I see somebody's hand? Do you have a question? You good? Praise God. Let's move on real quick. So we got conviction, and then we have condemnation. So false guilt. Let's see how I want to deal with this. In Matthew chapter 18, let me just reference this scripture real quick. Matthew chapter 18 and verses 23 through 35, Jesus talks about how important it is for us to forgive those that have wronged us. Don't miss this. And he talks about how we can be turned over to tormentors or evil spirits if we are unforgiving. Having an unforgiving spirit can open yourself up to evil spirits. In Colossians 3 and 13, it tells us and encourages us to be forgiving of one another. Now, as I'm talking about this forgiving, the Bible tells us, if we really look at this word forgiving, it talks about something very interesting, because in the New Testament Greek, it also, when it talks about forgiving one another, it also includes forgiving themselves. And imagine this, isn't it interesting? And you'd be alarmed at probably the number of people that God have forgiven, but that haven't forgiven themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
So what happens is you place yourself back in bondage by the trick of the enemy. What makes you not forgive yourself? The accuser of the brethren. He continues to bring up stuff that God has already forgiven you of. And now the devil does that. And you can't really control what the devil does. I mean, you don't set his agenda. I mean, you can check him when he rises up. You can chop his head off. I mean, you can handle him when he shows up. But you don't always know when he's going to show up. You don't really know his schedule. But if you got somebody in your life that's bringing stuff up and throwing it up in your face, now you can control that. You need to eject them people from your life. I'm just trying to help you. I ain't trying to be mean or rude to nobody. I'm not saying be nasty, but you need to hit the eject button. You ain't got to say nothing. You ain't got to cuss nobody out. Just hit the eject button and watch God take them out of your life real fast. Eject. Eject. You got somebody that's putting condemnation on you? You got to eat. It is not of God. And there are too many people in the body of Christ that's living under condemnation. You will not live on that other level of faith if you're living under condemnation. You have to know how to put that spirit, everybody say spirit. You got to know how to deal with that spirit by the word of God being mixed with faith. And you'll see God begin to work. Now, how is I want to deal with one. I'm going to try this here. Let's see where we end up here. How is guilt cultivated and nurtured? How is it cultivated and nurtured? Guilt is cultivated and nurtured when you allow yourself to constantly dwell on something of the past. The Bible tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Bible tells us to let this mind be in us, which is also in Christ Jesus. So something's going on here. So guilt is cultivated and nurtured when I allow that thing to continue to go over and over, and I keep turning it over and over, cultivated, dwelling on it, thinking about how bad I messed up, thinking about my past, thinking about the sins I committed in the past. And he loves to remind us of our past failures. When we allow that thing to keep going over in our mind, guess what? It's going to develop and cultivate. That's how love is formed, too, if you think about it. Relationships, you know how it is, Fred. You know how much Charlene was on your mind. She was on your mind, Fred. Just kept turning over in your mind. You was at work, at school, whatever, just turning over in your mind. And it kept cultivating and being nurtured. And guess what? It grew. It grew. It grew. Y'all been married how long, Fred? This coming December will be 30 years. So y'all just experienced this past. It was 29 years. Wow. He said this coming December, Charlene. So you know he ain't going nowhere. He already speaking down. So he good for you. You got him at least in December. He done put it out there. So this coming December, 30 years. Wow. That's a long time. But guess what? It started because it was going over and over in our mind. And guess what? That same principle, when it comes to guilt and condemnation, the enemy puts something in our mind, and what keeps us in bondage is that we allow it to nurture. It goes over and over. We beat ourselves up. Isn't it interesting how we can have a good week? God has delivered us. We've been thinking on the goodness of God, and then all of a sudden something hit us, and it just snatches. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's just, I mean, it's real. That's where we are. I'm trying to help you today. But look, I came here to try to set the captives free. Because we got to break this chain, saints. We got to break this thing if we're going to live on that other level. Not if we will break this chain, because we are going to live on another level. I'm speaking it even now in this house, even as some things I'm struggling with personally. But I know I'm proclaiming it in the name of Jesus. I wish somebody would believe God with me today. But listen, it's cultivated and it's nurtured. So here's what we have to do. How do we deal with this? Our best bet is we have to learn what is going on. Identify what the enemy's doing. Learn what's going on and stop the enemy dead in his tracks. So when we recognize the enemy, say, oh, I see you. You know what? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over that spirit that's coming to try to torment my mind. I bind you up in the name of Jesus. This mind belongs to God. This body belongs to God. I'm sold out to God. So devil, you have no place. So open the door and get him, kick him out. It's okay to talk to the devil.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. As long as you know what you're talking about. So we got to learn the difference between condemnation and conviction. Stop listening to condemnation.
Amen.
Stop listening to condemnation. Say that with me. Stop listening to condemnation. Okay, condemnation comes from the devil. And it's meant to build strongholds in your mind and weaken you spiritually. Condemnation comes to build strongholds. The stronghold of guilt. Listen to this. When a person who has repented of their sins but continually feels guilty day after day, even after being told that their past has been washed away and their sins have been forgiven, this person is facing what we call a stronghold. A stronghold. It's got you here. A stronghold is a lie that, when believed, results in an incorrect thinking pattern. I want to deal with that for a moment. An incorrect thinking pattern. This incorrect thinking pattern usually affects that person's perception of God or the perception of themselves. A stronghold, an incorrect thinking pattern. Listen, let me tell you what the Bible says about it. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare. You know, I think I need to turn to this one because I need y'all. I think I want everybody to turn to this one. Let me see what that scripture is. Is that in 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 10. That's where it is, Pastor. I know that's one of Pastor's favorite ones there. Yeah, that's it, Pastor. You got it. You got it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want everybody there. Because if we're going to be delivered, if we're going to be set free, if we're going to walk in our wealthy place, it's going to be as a result of the word of God. Amen. So I want y'all to get this word today. Amen. In Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm sorry. If you're there, say, I'm there. Verse 3. I'm going to start at verse 3. And please don't miss this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Let me pause right there. That's a word right there. That ought to be a liberating word right there for somebody. That should be an aha moment for somebody right there. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So if you're warring after the flesh, you're going to lose. Because it's not a fleshly war. So many saints of God are not living victoriously. They are losing the spiritual fight because they're warring after the flesh. That means when somebody does you wrong, you fight that person instead of fighting the spirit. And so you may beat that person down, but you're still in bondage. So you can win the physical fight and still be lost. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I'm talking about these strongholds in the mind now. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We think they are. Think about it. We really do. Think about how much carnal fighting we do. We feel if I can win the argument, I got you. And we can. And some people are very gifted and skillful in the art of arguing, and they can craft words right. And boy, they can cut you up and slice you up with their words and make you they can do it. I know I was growing up too. Some people, they would get so mad, be fussing and cussing, get so mad, they just run stuff together. Put cuss words together. They don't even make sense. They don't even go together. I'm just saying, just say crazy stuff. But listen, we have to get out of the carnal mind and in the spirit, because Romans 8 deals with that. Mm-hmm. So for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Are y'all hearing me? So for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Somebody say not carnal. Not carnal. But mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. What did I say strongholds were? It's when we begin how we believe things, when we begin to believe something that's not true. A stronghold is what we believe, what we focus on. A stronghold that comes, it's a lie that is believed that results in an incorrect thinking pattern. A stronghold. An incorrect thinking pattern. So here's what the spiritual weapons, the mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. So some of us are fighting, but our strongholds are not coming down because we're fighting with carnal weapons. But if we want this incorrect thinking pattern to change, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if I got a stronghold in my thinking, guess what? I'm bound up. And there are a lot of folks in church with their hands lifted up, but they bound up because their thinking is not right. That's right. incorrect thinking pattern, stronghold. I think that I can treat you a certain kind of way and still be okay with God. That's a stronghold. It's a lie too, but it's a stronghold. So these weapons, they come to pull down strongholds, pulling down this incorrect thinking pattern. I've got to renew my mind. I've got to renew the way I think about the things of God if I'm going to walk and to live on another level of faith. Pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations that's still in your mind, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And don't miss this next part. And bringing into captivity every what? That's your thinking, every thought, to the obedience of Christ. So that incorrect thinking, that stronghold, I have to bring into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So I have to say, Eric, you're not thinking the right way. That is the wrong way to think. So when the enemy comes in like a flood and he tells me that I'm guilty, he tells me that I'm not forgiven, he tells me that I'm still something that I've been delivered from, I have to say, pull that thought down to the obedience of Christ. Help me, Jesus, so that I can walk in my wealthy place. I can live on another level. So the problem is when those thoughts come, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do with them. We don't know how to deal with those thoughts that come in our head. And so we just go through day in and day out and being tormented with those thoughts because we don't know what to do with it. But I'm telling you today, and I submit a word to you today, that God said we can pull those strongholds down to the obedience of Christ. Cast down those imaginations. Pull them down through the word of God. There's power in the word of God. I wish the saints of God would hear this word today. Pull these things down. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So, strongholds must come down. These strongholds must come down. They can come down. They will come down. So these strongholds. So how do we deal with this guilt? Let me just give you a couple points here and we'll let you go. Number one, you got to understand the nature of God's forgiveness towards you. God's forgiveness is not conditional. It's unconditional. It's not in steps. He doesn't forgive you a little bit like we do. You know, we'll let you sort of earn your little way back in to our trust and confidence. God said if God's made the choice to forgive you, then you're forgiven. And you're forgiven totally, fully, and completely. So we got to understand the nature of God's forgiveness towards you. God says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In fact, the Bible says it is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. So you got to understand the nature of God's forgiveness towards you. I wish I had time to deal with forgiveness, but I don't. Let me go to number two. You have to repent of your sins if you haven't already done so. The big key to being forgiven is repentance. Without repentance, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or no removal, no washing away of sins without the shedding of blood or without repentance. Repentance means something must die. You have to turn around. There has to be a change. In other words, this direction that was wrong must die. I got to turn around and go in the right direction. So repentance is a turn, is a change of heart, which symbolizes the Old Testament sacrifice of there being a death to the flesh. And when the flesh died, now it was not just any death, but it had to be death by bloodshed. Let me move on. I don't have time to deal with that. Number three, know that your past sins have been forgiven and that you are now clean in Christ Jesus. So what does that do? That affects my thinking. Because now my thinking is focused not on what I used to be or what I used to do, but I'm focusing on the new creation I am in Christ. I am a new creation. We are the righteousness of God. If I see myself as this dirty sinner, then it's going to affect my thinking and my faith in God. But if I'm able to see myself as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, it's going to change my thinking. Bring those strongholds down. And number four, forgive yourself. Some of you struggle with forgiving other people. And some of you have been delivered with that, and now you're able to forgive other people, and you struggle with forgiving yourself. If you're going to deal with this guilt of condemnation and bring this stronghold down so that you can live on another level of faith, you have to learn to forgive yourself. So when the enemy brings those things to your mind, you can cast those strongholds down through the word of God. Through the blood, you got to be able to see the blood of Jesus. So every time the enemy brings up something you did in the past, guess what? You got to see the cross. That's right. Hallelujah. Because at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. We got to be able to see the cross. Because it is at the cross where we found our salvation in Christ Jesus. God bless you. I'm going to stop right here. Amen. In Jesus' name.